Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown coming at you. We have a great guest today. Big shout out to everybody who is following and listening to the show in Baltimore. You can kind of hear some of the noise in the background. I'm doing the show on the road today, not in the studio. I actually, it looks like on Wednesdays, I will be at the Family Success Center, and the workshop that I'm in is runs until 12 noon. So since it runs until 12 noon, I will probably end up doing the show from the road on Thursdays. I'm sorry, on Wednesdays. I just came out of our group, but it's all good. I thank everybody for hanging out with me. Thank everybody for being with me today. I hope you all had a chance to look at some of the videos that I uploaded to my blog. Just check out www.cybrown.com. I put up some great videos. I have one with me and Ty Howard, Mr. Untie the Knots. I also have a video of me and Lamar Darnell Shields. His wife is actually a comedian, so you can check her out on BET and a whole bunch of other stuff on VH1. And so that's a good thing. But it's really great to come before everybody today. We're going to jump right into today's show. Just know that the chat room is open. I'm going to bring in our guest, and the topic for today's show is the life of a Christian teenager. And the young man that I'm going to bring in, his name is Jonathan Allen, a real, real, real sweet young man. He and I worked together. You know, most of you know, I was the national president for Teens in Power, a great organization where we kept young people, you know, kept teenagers focused on doing the right thing, staying focused on their goals. And I really enjoyed being the national president for Teens in Power. And Jonathan was one of the young men in my group. And we bumped into each other. He actually found me on Facebook. So when he connected with me, I said, Jonathan, you have an amazing story. You have an amazing testimony. And I really would love to have you on the show. And, of course, he just said, you know what, Ms. Cy, I am down. I will be there. I will check in with you. So I am so, so pleased to have Mr. Jonathan Allen as my guest today. Jonathan, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Well, you know I'm doing well. I'm doing great. I'm doing better even now that we're speaking on the phone. Now that we're on the air, you know, now the world is getting an opportunity to peek into one of the conversations that you and I, that one of you and I have together. Before we get started, really for the rest of the show, I want to talk about your life, specifically your books that you're working on and just a whole host of other things, as well as the life of a Christian teen, some of the things that you go through, some of the challenges that you face. And it's really not to exploit or to make you comfortable, but it's really just for you to share your experiences with a lot of people that listen to my show, a lot of people that, you know, are going to download it through iTunes, and actually some of the people that are just, you know, just tuning in to listen. I think you have so much to share and so much to say. So without further delay, I just would like for you to tell everybody a little bit about who you are. I know you sent your bio over to me, but I think it would not do justice in me just reading your bio. So can you tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you're working on? And we're going to jump right into today's conversation.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Jonathan Allen. So glad to be with you on this afternoon. I'm an 18-year-old minister. I was just a youth pastor at a church not too long ago, and author of books, a college student, and just doing a multitude of things. I've always been infatuated with, infatuated with church and just God and things, spirituality and things like that. And so from a young age, you know, I've been in church, and I believe I was somewhere around 16 when I actually decided to go ahead into ministry and things like that, and it's just been going off since then. I've written three books. Two are being published as we speak. One is called The Kingdom, and that's really my main focus. It talks about the young African-American youth of today and the whole hip-hop culture and things of that nature. And basically what it's talking about is their place and their role in the kingdom. One of the strong points that I make in it is a call for apostolic leaders, and I mean that, I mean men and women of God in the church to raise up young men and women. We have a lot of young people that are really crying for leadership and crying for mentorship and, you know, are just acting out because they really don't know what to do. And we need, you know, people in the church. We need role models. We need people that, you know, not necessarily have to be a bishop or something like that, but people that will step up to the plate and mentor. The favorite scripture I like to use with that is Bible talked about when Jesus was talking to the disciple. He said, when thou have been converted, turn to your brother and strengthen them. And as we know, convert literally means to just turn again. And, you know, we have to, the older ones in the church have to see some of the mistakes that they made and some of the things that they've done and turn again so that they may reach back and get somebody else. And so basically that's what that book is about, their position and where God has called them to be, their place in God, their role in God, their things that God has called them to do, their destiny. And that's where God is trying to get us to, I believe, now. It's a place where we now can enter into our destiny, a place where we can enter into the place where he's called us to be, not just where we want to be, but what he has called us to be. And so that's what that's about. The second book is called Articulating the Anointing. And basically what that is just a young contemporary study on the whole Pentecostal experience, why we lift our hands, why we do the things that we do, what's the meaning and symbolism of prayer shawl? What's the meaning of prayer cloths? Why do we do the things that we do? This is what this book does, and it just simply goes in basic terms throughout different things in the Pentecostal churches that we do and why we do it. And the book that's not out for release yet is called Behind the Veil, and that was the first book that I wrote, and I believe that it's going to be turned into a ministry course that's upcoming. And basically that book goes throughout the whole the Tabernacle of Moses and talks about all the different furniture pieces in it and how it relates to us as Christian people today. The struggles that I believe that she wanted me to talk about Christian teens.
I really want to get into the challenge is this. And a lot of times, you know, I talk to young people, and I say young people in a respectful way, not as though in a demeaning way, but just really in such a way that I think we're influenced. Young people are influenced by hip-hop. Young people are influenced by pop culture. Young people are influenced by so much outside stimuli, barring the fact that you're a Christian. But how is the experience of young people trying to stay focused on doing the right thing before we even add a Christian teenager, but just a regular teenager? What are some of the challenges that you face just trying to stay focused on doing the right thing?
Oh, it's definitely hard. You know, even with school, I've always been, I don't like to use the word popular, but I've always been known in school and things like that. And, you know, to have people that was around me that wanted to do things that weren't focusing on school and knowing where I wanted to go, basically, you know, if you're not rooted, if you don't have people, not just people that are in church, but just people that will surround you and people that will keep you rooted and focused, you know, you can't just stay focused by yourself. You need people and mentors that will stay on you and keep you grounded so that you will get to where you're trying to get to.
I mean, you know, when I look at it, I think about my children. You know, I raised my children for the most part in church, and they're very, you know, they don't want to go to church. They want to, you know, hang out with their friends. How is it, or what are some of the things that you have done and you've implemented in your life to stay focused on doing the right thing?
Personally, I saw the stuff that I wanted to do, and I made a vision board when I was younger. Every year, I make a vision board of the things that I want to do. And, yeah, like I get young people all the time coming up to ask me, and, you know, some of them say, well, you don't go through this because you're a preacher and you don't go through this. But, yeah, I'm still young. I'm still, you know, human. And I still get the same temptations and same things that as everybody else. But when you have a focus, when you make the decision that I'm going to get somewhere, you know, with the right surrounding and with the right environment, and you can get to that. I think the problem that we find now is too many of the young people don't have the right environment, whether it be their friends, whether it be their home. Their environment is not right, so therefore their mind can't focus on that which they need to be, that which it needs to be focused on.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, just even as, and I'm not going to stress for the whole show about the fact that you're a teenager, because I think what you've accomplished and what you continue to accomplish is so mighty. But I think you can give us adults a better perspective as what are some of the big things that are influencing young people every single day.
Oh, wow. There are a multitude of things, even just with being, you mean young people in general?
Yeah, like when you wake up in the morning, you're 18 years old, you wake up in the morning, what are some of the pieces in place right now that influence you?
Okay, just in general, you could turn on the TV and just, you know, we tend to don't think that our environments affect us. Prime example. Now, I've been in church all my life, saved, love the Lord, everything like that. But still, when, you know, I turn on the TV and listen to something for too long or watch something for too long, and the same desires that another person might have, I have the same thing. And it's not, you know, that I don't love God or anything like that, or I'm trying to be taken over by the devil, nothing like that. It's just that we're normal and we have we have the capacity to, if we're not rooted in the right things, to fall.
But, okay, so now here it is. You wake up in the morning. You know what you have to do. Is it music? Is it the clothes? Is it the TV? What is it that, even if it doesn't touch you, because we know you've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, but that is special to you, but every young person doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So for the people that are not like you, what I'm trying to get to, Jonathan, are so adults can understand where they need to pick up the gap in the lives of young people. What are some of the influences that young people face that we may not understand?
Okay. It's in everything. It's not just in one thing. You know, I hear people all the time just the music or it's just not in one thing. It's in every area. It's from school, just peer pressure. It's from relationship-wise, sex-wise. It's in more than one area. It's not just in, you know, one area that you need to focus. It's in everything. Everything that can encompass the young person. It's everything. It's temptations and everything. There's things that's just going on in every area of life, from not just with school, not just with not just with the music, not just with everything. We have things just drawing us from you know, what to wear, to if I'm not wearing this, I'm not, you know, just little things like that that tend to build up. And so, you know, we're trying to make an image for ourselves, and like, I think that's another thing, image, like trying to become something, you know, that we see or something like that. Even myself, just trying to just fit in all the time and stuff like
right.
that. That coupled along with all the rest of the struggles that we're going through. And, like, for example, with myself, now, like, we've already stopped, so I'm a Christian and all that stuff, but yet I'm still human. And so when I was in high school, I was still, although I love the Lord and everything like that, even though I'm a Christian, I was still human. So when I was in high school, I still had the same temptation, still had the same everything else. And
right.
so while I'm even trying to focus and everything like that, I'm still trying to fit in. I found myself still trying to fit in to the image of what everybody else was doing and everybody else,
right.
You know, so when everybody else was doing stuff, they're asking, well, how come, you know, looking at me like I'm crazy and stuff like that. So I think it's everything from image to personality to just everything.
Well,
it's
hard for grown-ups to stay safe. I'm a grown-up, officially a grown-up, I guess that makes me a grown-up when I've got children who are growing up. But when you really look at it, it's hard for us to stay focused. It's hard for us to continue to do what we're supposed to do, even as grown-ups. So we're better positioned to resist peer pressure than young people are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking all of these questions so that really the adults, the very concerned adults that listen to this show have something they can go back and take to the young people in their lives and say, hey, listen, I heard this young kid on Saida's radio show, and he said young people are dealing with this. Is that something that you struggle with? Because that's what's really important. I mean, I know you personally, and I think you're a man of integrity from the day that we have first connected. But when you look at the bigger picture of it, grown-ups, truth be told, are very disconnected from young people. So I just keep asking you, sorry about some of the background noise, everybody. I'm doing a show from the road today. But grown-ups are very disconnected, and I'm using you today to connect us to young people so we can understand what your struggles are, so we can understand where your needs are, so we can, the concerned adults that are listening to this show and the ones that really care about the lives of young people, can pick up that deficiency and reduce that gap, because I want to understand what's on the hearts and minds of young people. And I think you know that from the time we first met. I've always been concerned about what's going on in the lives of young people.
I think another thing that we don't have is, like, a lot of people concerned and involved in the young people's lives. You just, you know, especially in church, you just making them come to church and stuff like that, but there's nothing really, like, to involve them. They're just there. They're not, you know, doing anything. I think when you just there, and the parents are there and things like that, but they're not involved in their lives. They're not, you know, they don't know who their friends are. They're not interactive in their children's lives, and I think that's another problem that, you know, we face.
Well, you know what's so funny? I spoke this weekend down in Baltimore, and I've been talking about it. That trip changed my life. I saw, and I said it yesterday, there were over 600 young people there. I saw young people that didn't care what Jeezy was doing. I saw young people that didn't care what Lil Wayne was doing. I saw young people genuinely concerned about their future, genuinely concerned about what's going on in their life, and they mandated answers from adults. So I go back to my original questions to you. Young people are demanding more from adults. You all are saying, listen, y'all better be brought up to speed and start presenting solutions to the real problems that we face. But I think the deficiency exists because we don't know what those problems are. I have no understanding of some of the challenges my son faced because there was no MySpace. That stuff didn't exist when I was a teenager. So how do we, and I know I probably keep asking the question in several different ways, how can we take the necessary steps to help you all become better adults, especially Christians?
Well, I think, even with some of the struggles that I was facing personally, being in school with peer pressure and stuff like that, from drugs to sex and all that stuff, you know, they don't want to open up. You can't just feel wrong talking to your parents and stuff like that, you know, around stuff like that. So I think trying to get it to a way where, like, we have to get somewhere in between to where as we become a certain amount. For example, there's a show on MTV called Sex with Mom and Dad. And it's
what?
Talking.
It's called what?
It's called Sex with Mom and Dad. And when I first heard about it, I had to look it up, see what was going on. And in the show, is young people that have questions about sex and different other things like that. And some of them are promiscuous, some of them are doing different things, and the parents are so they're just disconnected from them. You know, they're being from a different generation, and they're not knowing how to connect. So they go to a doctor, and the doctor is supposed to be kind of a mediator between them to try to get them, you know, on one page. And basically, I think what we need now is like a balance of trying to get them to come together on one page. Because we have questions and stuff like that. It's just don't want to come to you.
Yeah. You know what? I look at it as this. I think first and foremost, young people want adults to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think you want us to listen. My sons say sometimes some of the most inappropriate things to me. But I think it's because they know that I'll listen to them and that there's a certain comfort level that exists because I will listen. And father never really had a voice. It was his way or no way. Do as I say, God as I do. And to all of the adults that listen to the show that deal with young people, I think young people just want us to listen to them. Is that kind of right, Jonathan?
Yes. Listening, and not, you know, when they're just talking, ask questions back, you know, not just sit there and listen to what they're saying, but interact with the conversations, or bring up the conversations yourself, you know, get more involved in just continue daily life, you know.
Yeah. Well, now let's switch gears a little bit, Jay. You're a Christian, a professed Christian. What are some of the challenges that you face amongst your peers? Because I know my children didn't want to, I had to come to a point where I let them, and maybe it wasn't the best thing, but they didn't grow up, they went to church sporadically. They were typically not church kids. They went on the big holidays, and we went to a small church now and again before I really made a public announcement of my love for God, and then all of a sudden moved up the ranks and became youth director of my church, then national president of Teens in Power, which, for the record, I know I could have done a better job, but I'm learning on the job as well as an adult. But just my children didn't want people to know they went to church. They didn't want to wear a shirt and tie. What are some of the issues that you face, not only being a responsible teenager, but being a Christian teen, needless to say, a pastor?
Well, everything, like, you know, I still enjoy, just my whole attitude and stuff like that, like, you know, being young, you want to do what everybody else want to do, you want to, you know, say what everybody listen to, and I enjoy the stuff that everybody else is doing, and, you know, to, when I got saved and stuff like that, to have to turn away from it, it was hard, it took some time, it didn't happen overnight and stuff like that. So I think, you know, I think one of the biggest problems in this for any group, just getting away from the environment. Like, the whole environment of the surrounding, just getting away from the whole environment. Like, how do you just move away from it?
You know what? You hit something right on the head, and my husband and I had this conversation this week. My son, and I hate to keep my poor kid, he's like, you talk about me all the time, but listen to this. My son did not want to wear a shirt and tie this past weekend, mumbled and grumbled, and y'all heard me yesterday say I wanted to put him out on the New Jersey Turnpike. You know, we mandated you wear a shirt and tie, and you will look respectful, and you will go down there and have a nice time. And you know something? Once he was removed from our hood, and he was amongst all hundreds of other young people that were the same age, 15, 16, 17. They all had on shirts and ties. The women all had on pantyhose, shoes, and skirts, and they looked presentable, or pantsuits. He felt more comfortable, and I heard him last night. He didn't want to admit it. He was like, Mom, it really wasn't that bad. But the key to it, Jonathan, you just hit it right on the head, was removing him from our regular environment. Because he was so set in his ways and his little swagger. But once he was removed from his environment and saw other young people trying to be somebody and try to do some things, he was like, wait a minute, there are other people like this, but there also are young people that just can't physically remove themselves from their environment because of their parents. So what do you say to them?
That's a question I've been running. That's why I brought it up. It's a question I've been debating with some other leaders, because I've been talking to some young people that have no knowledge of church, have no knowledge of God. They know is their hood and stuff like that. And they're like, you know, they wasn't in a visit. They were just asking questions. And they're saying, you know, well, you know, how am I supposed to just change from everything and this is all I know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, you know, what to do? You can't just, you know, we can spiritualize it all day long, but when it comes down to it, they're still in the same place.
Mm-hmm. No,
so it's like,
you're absolutely right.
So, like, what to do now?
Well, one of my listeners just asked, put in the chat room for me to ask you, what do you think is the biggest disconnect between young people and their parents? You didn't know there was going to be a test today, right?
Just the overall, just the whole, everything, the whole communication system on just different levels from, you know, just in different areas of their life. Like, nowadays, we just want to just be, you know, not that we don't care to talk to our parents. It's just that we would prefer to talk to those around our own age or those that, you know, experiencing that which we're experiencing. Because most of the time when we talk to older people, it's always more criticism than, you know, help. It's always just, when I was that age, I didn't do that. When I was your age, I didn't, you know, say that. There's no actual feedback or how we can make it better and stuff like that. So instead of going through the whole motions with that, we just not talk to you at all.
Oh, you know what? He just clarified the question. He says he knows there's a disconnect between parents and children. What is the biggest disconnect? So what would you say is at the top of the list? Is it perhaps listening or understanding? What do you feel, Jonathan, as a leader for young people, is the biggest disconnect between parents and their children?
I think listening and understanding, but understanding mainly. You know, like I said before, like when they start talking about it, it comes to criticism, not actually taking it in and trying to understand exactly what they're saying.
You know, True just also put in the chat room, our generation is way more open than our parents. Absolutely. I mean, there's stuff that I say to my children and there's stuff that my children say to me that I probably still wouldn't say to my parents. And you know what, True? I had the pleasure of interviewing Ms. B. Smith. And I'm going to actually put that interview up on my blog this afternoon once I get back to my office. But anyway, she said she couldn't even talk to her father. And that's really how it was. It was almost like talking to dad was off limits. You had to go through mom or grandma or grandpa. Like, there were just unspoken rules about this whole communication thing. And so now, as me being a parent, you know, I'm in my late 30s, I want to talk to my children. I want to hear what they have to say. But, you know, Jonathan, right now you have an audience of adults. I don't really have a teen following for this show, but right now you have the ear of adults. What would you say to all of us that we can take home so we can start helping the young people in our lives?
Yes. Listening more, just before start speaking, listening, taking it in, and finding a better way to communicate it rather than just off the bat, just coming at them. Because I know for me personally and some of the ones around me, when, you know, I just get all that just stuff just coming at me, I just shut down and not talk at all.
Wow.
And so just finding another way to communicate. Me personally, half the time, I don't even mind some of the stuff that's being said. It's just the way that it's being presented. It's just, I don't want to receive like that.
you know what? My grandmother has said to me at times that I have the most disrespectful children. She's like, you let these kids say anything. You let these kids talk to you any kind of way. And I don't feel that way. And I've shared on the show that sometimes, yes, the things that they have said and how they have said it has bordered on being disrespectful. But here's why I allowed that. My younger son had a friend, and they went to school in another town in Jersey. And I would drive them to school every day. And the little boy never talked. All he would say, good morning, Miss Saeed. I'm like, hi, sweetie, how are you? Okay. So what are you working on? Nothing. He never really talked. And I said to my son, I'm like, does he ever talk? And he's like, you know, yeah, you know, he's just like that around grown-ups. So, you know, we would visit his church, and he would lead, you know, the march in some churches, particularly in the Baptist faith. They had the march where the choir marches in, and he was the one that led the march in. And it dawned on me. I said to my husband one day, I said, this kid never talks. I said, how is anybody ever going to know what's going on in his head if he doesn't talk to adults? And the day my grandmother said to me, you know what, you've got these disrespectful children, they're always, I said, you know what, I would rather, unfortunately, deal with them being slightly disrespectful at times and know what they're thinking than to have this kid who never talks. For all I know, he could be a ticking time bomb ready to explode.
Right.
He could be ready to explode. Let me just read you a couple things, Jonathan, that are being said in the chat room, and then I really want to get into the Bible and move a little bit more into what you do on a regular basis. It's put in the chat room that that's a problem with most people. I get what he's saying now. The manner in which it's presented, has he conveyed the info to his parents or his intimate too. I'm not sure what that meant. But anyway, I guess he's putting in the chat room that it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I think that's basically what you were saying, right, Jonathan?
Correct.
Now let's get into the ministry side. Let's move into the whole ministry component of what you do every day. What made you go into ministry as I am a minister? I know I always resisted. I didn't want to be called a minister. I'm Saeeda who loves people. That's a big obligation to wear that hat. What made you accept putting that hat on?
Well, I think just growing up around men and women, and I've seen the way they exemplify, I've seen the character and the integrity and their prayer life. I've seen that, and I wanted that. And so as I got older, now, I've always wanted to be a preacher, never wanted to be a pastor, still to this day though.
What's the difference, in your mind, what's the difference between a preacher and a pastor?
Well, to actually be a pastor of a church, like to lead sheep on a daily basis, actually be a pastor of a church, that's something I don't rush for.
Okay, it's all good. It's all good.
Even on, like, you know, I try to talk to some of the younger ministers that I see in some of the networks that I see that are just, you know, rushing for it, and it's like, hold on, slow down a minute, you know. Like,
right.
Before you understand what you're getting into, it's not just even with just being a youth pastor, I've come up with some stuff, come up against some stuff that's just like, wow, you know, so it's just like, now that I'm getting, when I wanted to do it when I was younger, I think I had mentors and leaders, you know, when I was trying to rush to get into ministry that didn't just let me, but they made me wait. And,
yeah,
you know, I didn't like it then, but I like it now because I meet some preachers now who, you know, was rushed into it, and now they're not where they used to be. And so it's like, thank you for making me wait, you know.
Well, you know, I look at it this way. First of all, that's why I took the title as youth director. Because I just, see, when you're in ministry, you're dealing with people's souls and salvation.
Yes.
And demons and the spirituality. And you know, the Bible says we're not even fighting against a war against flesh and blood. And that's why I said that's a big hat to wear.
Right.
And I'm a grown-up and didn't want to wear that hat. You know, I didn't want, people would say Minister Saeed, and I'm like, nope, I'm just Saeed. You know, call me Miss Saeeda, Miss Saeed. and maybe that was not the right thing to do because maybe I was shunning the mandate that God placed on my life. But let's look at it from your perspective. I've seen overzealous teenagers that are just so on fire for the Lord that they go off on these tangents. And they start condemning their friends. And there was a young man that I was dealing with, and he would tell the kids, "You don't have sex," and this and that. And he's wearing suits mm-hmm. when all the other kids are going to the basketball court. And I had to pull him aside. I said, "If you are really serious about the mandate that's been placed on your life, that you are going to be a minister, one of the things that you need to understand is you have to interact with people. And if God has put the mandate on your life to minister to your peers, which are other teens, you cannot go to them with a suit and tie with a Bible, and they're all heading to the basketball court.
Right.
You'll be most effective throwing on a pair of sneakers, throwing on a pair of basketball shorts, and when they're on the basketball court cussing each other out, use that as your opportunity to minister." And you know what he told me? He said, "Miss Saida, that's just not me." I said, "Well, then you know what? You need to go back to the leaders in your church and understand the mandate that's been placed on your life. How do you deal with that? How do you stay relevant to your peers when the mandate has been placed on your life to be a minister?"
I think I don't want to say it's easier, but it's better for me than some of the older ones in church because I can still, really, I don't keep myself so high spiritually that, you know, I don't know nothing that's going down here on earth. I think one of the problems that young people face, especially, you know, reason why I want to come to church because everybody's so, like, they've never sinned before. Like, they don't go through temptations. They don't, you know, things like that. And so I make it not so that I'm so saved and stuff like that. You know, when I meet people all the time, like I love them. You know, they know I'm in ministry and stuff like that. Like, call me whatever. You call me Jonathan, call me John, call me whatever. You don't, you know, it just making them feel comfortable in order to don't just go out and right away with, "Oh, Jesus. Don't go out and right away with that, but just ease on into it. Like, I've got a couple of guys right now that, like I told you before, have nothing to do with church, don't know nothing about God, and, you know, I just can't start quoting scriptures to them. They're not going to understand that. Just basic, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to emphasize in writing and just preaching and everything, just basic strategies for just winning young people.
Well, we just got a question for you in the chat room from a friend of mine who's in Raleigh, North Carolina, Mr. Stephen Walker. I love this. Everybody's from all different parts of the country. This is so great every day. But anyway, Mr. Walker just asked, "Can he tell us about a time that he was tempted to do wrong or sin and how he handled it?"
Oh, me?
Yeah, you, buddy.
I'm thinking.
Let me read the question to you one more time. It's okay,
okay.
Got it. You are so sweet. The question was, can he tell us about a time that he was tempted to do wrong or sin, and how he handled it?
I'm tempted in phase daily with just different stuff, but one in particular, there was this young girl that I really liked and stuff like that. We was friends for a while, and it was a bunch of friends, and we was out till late, and everybody was getting ready to just go back to her house just to stay the night, and like the feel was just a little too eerie, and so everybody was like, "Well, you might as well just come back since we all drive in the same car and stuff like that." I'm like,
mm-hmm.
As much as I wanted to go, but I knew what it would have ended up to, so I just had to think either this or, you know, all the stuff that I worked up to that point. But I understand that it's not easy for everybody to do that. And, you know, one of the things that I try to emphasize to people is like, all right, you know, not that I'm condoning sin, but all right, if you do fall, if you do fail, get back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not full of condemnation and stuff like that. I think a lot of times we just have people that's just damning, but never, you know, can relate. So remember, all right, yeah, I remember when I fell. I remember when I had a fall and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what are some of the messages, Jonathan, that you bring to your peers and the young people that you touch every day? What are some of the messages and what are some of the, I hate to use the word sermons, but what are some of the messages that you bring to young people that are relevant to their lives every day?
basically, a lot of the times it's either dealing with one of the seminars that I do a lot is titled "What Do You See?" And basically, it's talking about Jeremiah, the first chapter, when God asked Jeremiah, "What do you see?" And Jeremiah said, "Well, I cannot speak, for I am a child." And God said, you know, in that whole conversation, the first chapter of Jeremiah, basically is trying to reach young people and get them to see beyond their little, you know, their circumstance, beyond their environment, beyond, see all beyond that, try to find out exactly what that potential is inside of them. And from that potential, like, one of the things that I like to work with young people on a regular basis, with, you know, constantly working with them, to try to figure out what it is on the inside of them that they want to do and how to develop that into a reality. And not just with church things, you know, everybody, I get a lot of emails with young guys and young girls telling me, oh, when you talking about destiny and stuff like that, that it automatically means preaching. No, you music industry, business, books, what is on the inside of them, and try to develop that into a reality. So that's one of the main things.
Okay. We just got another question. First of all, let me just do a quick programming note. For those of you who are listening to the show that may not be registered on Blog Talk Radio, please register and create a username, because we would love to have you in the chat room. One of my buddies who's a radio person just said it may be good to mention to those who are not registered to register so they can join the discussions with comments. So I guess, you know, I just take for granted that they would do it anyway. So we welcome you. Please know the chat room is open, but in order to engage in the actual discussions that we were having, please create a username and join us, because we would love to have you in the chat room. Another thing, everyone here is registered but do not have pictures on their profiles. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's keep the show going in this direction. LaVon, who's a dear friend of mine from Jersey, she says, he is an awesome young man, and if he continues to hold tight to God's hand, what mighty things God is going to do through him. So that was a message to you, Jonathan. And LaVon, yes, Jonathan is absolutely amazing. I've known him probably for, it's probably been about 4 or 5 years now, right, Jonathan, that when we first met through Teens in Power?
Yeah, something around that.
And also, I just got a note in the chat room. Do you have a website that I can send my son and daughter back to? Send my son and daughter to? Jonathan, put your give me your information so I can put it in the chat room.
Okay, my email address is youthpastor_j.
youthpastor_j@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. What's your, oh, everybody, I just put youth pastor with a Y. Please disregard that Y. It's youthpastor_j@yahoo.com. And what's your MySpace? I know you have MySpace, Jonathan.
Yes. MySpace is myspace.com/G.
Uh-huh.
And life is, but life is spelled LYFE.
Uh-huh.
2U, the number 2 in the letter U.
Okay, so myspace.com, GLYFE2U, right?
Yes.
Okay, don't you have the other one, too? Should I give the other one?
Yes, you can give that one. That's
myspace.com, this is the one that I go to, and it's Jonathan Allen Online, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just put all the, because, you know, like I said, you're talking to a room full of adults, but we have so many young people in our lives that we would like to share you with, and just so everyone knows, Jonathan is available for speaking engagements, because that's what he, you know, if I can be so forward, Jonathan, to share that he is available to come and talk to young people. Definitely a man of God. Definitely just a young person trying to do the right thing. Jonathan, before we run out of time, we're down to the last 10 minutes of today's show. What are some of the things that adults can do? Well, we already discussed listening and things like that, but even in working with you and learning from you, how can we stay connected with you to impact the lives of young people around us?
Well, I think, again, like we said, listening and just being active, like That's one of the things I just keep emphasizing everywhere. Just being active, just trying to stay up with what they're doing and stuff like that. You know, you see them watching some of the shows or some of the videos, stuff like that. Try to sit down with them for a couple of them. You try to, you know, get into it with them. Like, try to get involved in just any area of their life that you think would be beneficial to your relationship.
You know, my husband watches this show, which I can't stand. It's I think, Real Chance at Love or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Two brothers. I can't stand the show. And quiet as it's kept, everybody here has to pinky swear they don't tell my younger son. He watches this show with him every Monday, and he watches it just to see what he's watching. He's like, Saida, this show makes me crazy. This for all of us adults, it's a goofy like reality show, but it's called Real Chance at Love with these two brothers. Jonathan, is it on like MTV or which VH1?
It's on VH1.
Yeah, but he watches it with my kid just so he can see what he's talking about. You know, and not that we're perfect parents, but I think even LaVon, she ran the youth division of her church, and I stand to be corrected, LaVon, if I'm giving out misinformation, but there's just so many people that really care about our future, so many people that care about what's going on in the world, and we all understand that young people are our future. So right now, as we start to wind down today's show, share with us your final thoughts about how we can help young people and the things that you're doing to help young people.
Okay, personally, the reason why, you know, I stay close with a lot of the young people that I'm connected to. Like, personally, I'm not into sports and stuff like that. I prefer business and things like that. Not just our church, but just sports. It's just not something I was into. And so when I found out that a lot of the young people that I associated with do, you know, I make it a point to go to basketball games with them. I make it a point to, you know, just be there and just do what they're doing and, you know, stuff like that, to let them know I'm with you. I mean, and even in that, engaging and being active and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm reading some messages. True just put in the chat room, it is a way to connect. It is a way to connect. True says, wow, I am not mad at him. Yeah, I mean, I always share with you, it was very difficult for me to transition from hip-hop to heaven. And I talked about it in my book, From Hip-Hop to Heaven, because I didn't want my friends, my peers in hip-hop to think, oh, Saida's corny, oh, Saida's whack, now she's going to church. So can we all imagine how difficult it is for us as a to profess the love of Jesus Christ to teens who are being so heavily influenced by their peers and that swagger and to smoke and to drink and to have sex and all of the things that are going to take them out of their natural state of purity. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and he said he got his son a purity ring.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do whatever he can to keep him from engaging in premarital sex. But adults that are listening to the show, be mindful. While we're all preaching against intercourse, now the kids are engaging in other types of sexual activity that I don't even want to mention, but yet they're saying, well, you told me not to have intercourse, you told me not to have sex. So they're finding other creative ways around it. So I think we really have to be in tune with the hearts and minds of young people and talk to them as opposed to at them. Is that
right?
Pretty much what you're doing, Jonathan?
Right. That, and another thing that I emphasize is just being open and transparent about some of your experiences and things like that. And plus just living what you're telling them. One of the things that I found when I was in school before I really got serious, they saw me preaching Jesus, but yet they heard me preaching him, but yet they saw me living a different way. It wasn't until they actually saw me living Jesus that they began to actually start listening.
Wow.
So just living what you're talking about, even in your homes and stuff like that, just living what you're talking about.
Wow, Zers. You know what, buddy? Let me tell you something, Jay. You just said a mouthful right there, because that is a direct contradiction to do as I say, not as I do mentality that many of us were raised in. I know I was, do as I say, not as I do, and you better not ask any questions. And I know all of you guys
that are in the, listening to the show and in the chat, you all know exactly what I'm talking about because we are all about the same age. It was just put in the chat when the price of hypocrisy costs us our children's soul. And true put, that's true. People are always watching you. You know what? I heard Joel Osteen say one time, he was in a parking lot, and he got out of the car, and it was like, he had a gum wrapper or something like that, and it fell. And he started to leave it there, but he actually went back and he picked it up. So a week later or whatever, however the story went, somebody came up to him in church and said, you know, hi, Pastor Osteen, I saw you in such and such, and I saw you actually pick up the wrapper from the ground. That speaks to integrity. That's exactly what Hyro just put in the chat room. That speaks to integrity. He thought nobody was looking. Somebody is always looking, and somebody is always watching.
Right.
So integrity, I think they say, what is the definition of, like, integrity, doing right when nobody, when you know nobody's looking or you think nobody's looking? Is that how it goes?
Something like that.
Did I lose you, Jonathan?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, anyway, we're down to the last few minutes of the show. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very – oh, thanks, True. He just put in the chat room 5 minutes. Thank you so much. Jonathan, before we close out the show, remind everybody how they can find you and tell us again about your books.
Again, two books coming out. You can post it to my MySpace about that, and it's MySpace/GLYFE. It's spelled LYFE. The number 2 and the letter U, and they should be out in the next couple of weeks, what have you, and you can stay posted on there and for more information to come.
Thank you, my buddy. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. I mean, I had a great chat room. I've got a big shout-out to Mr. Stephen Walker, Quarter Hour, which is my buddy Jermaine, to True, one of my troopers, LaVon Hospitality Diva, High Road, Life Remix Radio. I spoke to Pastor Montan McDonald over the weekend, I believe, and he will be in and out of the show this week. Also, Annie, Tiff, and Mama Smokey, let's keep them in prayer. Oh, wait a minute. I just got a suggestion. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Make sure we have enough time. I just got a suggestion. It's up to me. Can he pray for children and teens? Jonathan, before we go, let me just let you know we have 4 minutes left in the show because you know once the spirit starts to move, I say this very respectfully. Now we're down to 3 minutes. Can you just give us a closing prayer before we end today's show? And we have just a few minutes left.
Sure. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we had to share, God, to interact with one another. God, we pray that we will take what we've learned today, Father God, and put it into application. We pray, God, that our young people would be more receptive to what we have to say, Father God, and that you will turn them around, Father God, and do something brand new. Father God, we pray, God, for a supernatural move, God, on our youth today, Father God. We pray for an outpour of your spirit upon them, Father God. We pray that our ears will be open to hear their hurts, their pains. Father God, we pray that you will open our eyes to see what you would do through them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for coming on the show today. You know I have to have
you
back.
No problem.
Thank you for the prayer. You know, you and I have been connected through Teens in Power and through leadership and through other circles. So I'm very grateful that you were obedient today to just say, you know what, Miss Sai, I'll be there. Thank you very much. Truly blessed. Thank you so much for tuning in today, Mr. Walker, everybody else. I'm so happy. And listen, it was put in the chat room. Can everybody keep Jonathan lifted in prayer? Because here we have a young kid, young man, 18 years old, that wants to do the right thing, and we all need to keep him lifted up in prayer and keep him encouraged so that he can go out and speak to the young people in ways in which we probably can't understand him. Everybody, remember, we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do or any kindness that we can show, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. I love everybody for listening. Jonathan, thank you so much for tuning in. And tomorrow is our weekly Bible study. So everybody have your Bibles ready if you have them handy. Or if you're at work, get the concordance up because, you know, I'm always trying to put scripture up as the one is giving us scripture during the day. I love everybody for listening. Thank you so much. I take it very humbly that you listen to me every single day. I'm going to put some more stuff up on the blog this afternoon. And, Jonathan, everybody's putting that this was a great show, but I couldn't have done it without you. Thanks, Jonathan.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no doubt. Everybody, I'll see you tomorrow. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.